Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
Start by reading this quote. This is by John O'Donohue. If there are any John O'Donohue fans here, yes, I know. I had to buy this book. This I found was a book that I didn't have. So lucky me, I got to buy the book To Bless the Space Between Us. And this is a book that was printed after John O'Donohue passed away. I tried to say and you know what I mean? I couldn't get that word out. So after he died, that's when it was printed. He had already written it all and it was ready to go. And I'm so, so glad that somebody took it upon themselves to print this book. So here is the quote. Each of us is an artist of our days. The greater our integrity and awareness, the more original and creative our time will become. Yes, each of us is an artist of our days. And you know what I need to remember when I read something like that, and I want to say it to each of us, is that means you. That means me. I am an artist. I am an artist of my day. I am the artist in my life. By the way, my name is Reverend Kathy Condon, and I am so happy to be here. This is the first time I've spoken at this center, and I have a history, though. I have a history with the Portland Center. When I first moved to Oregon, this is in the days of Religious Science International and United Religious, yeah. So I came from an RSI church and I was in the midst of a first year practitioner, which means that I was being guided and still being taught, and I had things that I had to do to fulfill to actually get my practitioner license, and I hadn't done that yet. So it was very important to me at that time that I find an RSI church to attend since I moved here. And I first got to know the United Church, but it wasn't where I could go, at least I didn't think I could. Now I realize, of course, I could have gone, but you know, I just thought I had to really, I was a rule player sometimes. Not all the time, mind you, but there were some things that I thought you had to follow the rules, and this is one. So anyway, so I found the Westside Church, and 2 months after I was there, the minister left, and there was another practitioner and I. And she said, so you girls will take over, right? What? I'm just barely a practitioner. So that's what we did. And, you know, we had a lot of guest speakers. I talked to the then minister, cannot recall her name. Somebody's going to remember it.
Sandy?
Oh, no. Sandy Shipley was at Westside. I'm talking about who was at Portland Center. I talked to that minister, and she gave me the names and phone numbers for all the practitioners. And so this was in the year 2000, and I'm pretty sure each one of those practitioners took turns speaking at my church, which was wonderful for me because I got to meet everybody, and then I started hanging out with them. And so a lot of them have become friends that I am still very, very close with. So that's my Portland Center history. Anyway, this is my first time back speaking at a center for spiritual living, because for 8 years I have been at the Unity of Beaverton Church as their minister. And I want to tell you, I left there in the end of October. I came here sometime in the first few weeks of November, intent on joining this church. This is my home. This is my spiritual home. And I felt it even as I was walking in the door. And when I came in here, I have been in the sanctuary before, but when I came in here, I thought, this is my place. This is my place. I love this community. And I already know plenty of people here. And since I've arrived a couple of months ago, I've met so many more. And I am so happy to be here with you. So I should probably get going on this message. Okay. All right. So let's start with our message. Haha. This year, as you all know, the year is a grand rising. That is the theme for CSL for this year, a grand rising. And what that puts me in mind of is rising up and out of whatever feels like, appears to be holding me down. Do you know that sometimes don't you have that feeling like you're stuck? You're stuck in the muck of life. And it's not bad, it's not horrible, but there's no joy, you know? You're just kind of get up every day and you do these things, whatever they are. You know, I have a really hard routine now. It's become very difficult since I've retired. I get up every day and have to think about whether or not I'll wash those breakfast dishes right away. I don't. I want you to know I don't. But I have to think about it. You know, those are the kind of decisions that I make now, those really big decisions. So, it's wonderful. I have never enjoyed anything so much. I didn't even know I would enjoy not working as much as this. So let's take a look now. Well, but the rest, that's the year. Okay. And then the month, this month is, that's how we've never done it. Boy, don't people love to remind you of that? You know? We don't do it that way here. I'm sorry. We don't talk that way. We don't whatever go on and on, you know, that whatever, that's not how we do it. And what this month is about is, you know, it's a good thing it's early in the year because, you know, we probably all need to be shook a little bit and said, hey, we don't care. We don't care how you've always done it. And that doesn't matter if it's the good stuff or the not so good stuff. You know, we're not just looking at cleaning house on the stuff that doesn't work, on the stuff that doesn't serve us. And it doesn't take, you know, a genius to figure out, boy, I'm really defeating myself here with all of these things I continue to believe and these things that I continue to do, these actions that I take. And it's really time to fire up the engines, you know, and start thinking again and start feeling again and start being a part of my own life. Start being the captain, you know, of the ship. And who has always been the captain and tries quite often to appear is my ego. Anybody else have an ego? Yeah, yeah. When you hurt my feelings, that's my ego, you know? When you aggravate me, that's my ego. I had to learn all this. You may take that for granted. You may say, well, of course that's my ego. Of course that. I didn't know that. Even all the times and all the years that I heard about egos, I thought, yeah, I don't have an ego. Poor shy little me, I didn't have an ego. We all have that ego, and the ego gets a bad rap. It's not a bad thing. The ego has, you know, the protecting us. It protects us. Not always in a way that is in our best interest, but it is in the best way that the ego understands. The ego lives by a different set of rules than those of us attempting to live a spiritual life would live. So now, you know, when somebody cuts us off in traffic, the first thing we do is pray, right? Well, it may not be pray, but I don't have to go into a rampage. I don't have to become all upset about what this person has done to me. And of course, what they've done is startle me, right? I'm not in an accident. Nothing's wrong. I just had a moment of startle. And I can allow that moment to be as big as it wants to be. Isn't that true? Just any of those little moments, we can allow that to be, okay, this is what killed the day. This is what did it. It was downhill from there. And that's because our ego is in charge. It doesn't know how to come back. You set it in a direction, and it's going that direction. And you have to, we have to find a way, find a method of containing that ego, you know, of allowing it to tell us what it thinks. But, you know, it's like interacting with a child. You don't argue with a child, do you? I'm sure everybody has tried, and we all learned the hard way. You don't argue with a child. You just do it differently. You just do it differently. And this is the same thing with how I have to treat my ego. Which means that leaves me with an alternative, which in the past was just crazy, lost, out there, you know, not knowing how to handle you guys, the people out there, you know, not knowing how to deal with relationships, whether they were close family, close friends. You know, I would always run into some kind of a wall because my ego was in charge, or even complete strangers. Everybody had the power to ruin my day or to make my day. It was a human power that was in control of my day. And having been here now for many, many years, I'm a slow learner. I am a slow learner. I don't pick it up quick, but I do pick it up, and I do utilize the tools that we have here. The one I found that works the best for me is forgiveness. And it's not forgiving others. It's forgiving me. To be in a place where I realize, where I recognize that thing that aggravated me was a protection. And I don't need that kind of protection. I don't need human protection. I don't need protection from another. I have that protection. And it's my spiritual beingness. When I recall, when I remember who I am a spiritual being. And you know the rest of that, you know, a spiritual being having a human experience. And all that human experience stuff is what happens to trip us up, right? It's what it comes and goes, doesn't it? Nothing lasts, nothing. So now we find that we not only have to let go of the bad things in the past, we also have to let go of the good things. You know, just stop living from that success. Oh my gosh, this was the most wonderful day of my life. This happened and that happened and it went here. And that is my story. That is as boring and as worthless as, you know, the negative thing that somebody is always telling you about their life. Whatever it is, if your story doesn't change, if it's not different day to day, you're not living from that newness, that spiritual newness that we learn about when we begin becoming and realizing, not becoming a spiritual person, but realizing we already are. To come to the awakening that there is a connection between me and the divine presence. It's palpable. I can feel it just by declaring it, because I've trained myself like Pavlov's little dog to follow that path. When I declare, when I claim my spiritual self, the rest of it is laughable. Just, how could I have thought that? How could I have acted on that? Why did I get so angry? Why did I say the things that I said? And forgiveness has to be the first part of that. From my point of view, you may be nicer than me. I try, but you know, I don't always make it. And having a realization, and this is what changes the rules. When I have first the realization that I'm a spiritual being, and God loves me, and God and I are one, there is no part of me that is not God. I am that drop of ocean, which is the whole ocean, the entire ocean. That is who I am. I am one with God. And this is exactly what I do when I am walking through this. I have to take these steps of declaring I am a divine being having this physical experience. And that just puts me into a more relaxed state. Whatever is that's going on, having that momentary realization of the divine presence in my life, right here and right now, gives me the moment to make a new choice, to make a new decision. And I think that it's very interesting that I may be wrong, so if I'm incorrect and you are one, then good for you. But I don't get the lesson the first time around. so that, and it always looks just a little different. You know, the thing that may have upset me yesterday, and I've learned now I'm not getting upset about that anymore. Boy, I can see that clearly. But I wasn't prepared for this little thing that happened here today. And by God, didn't it upset me just as much as that thing yesterday? I think that these incidents and these opportunities come again and again and again because we need that often to get it, to get it. So I am 76 years old, and I have made so many mistakes in life. I've had a wonderful life, but I've made a lot of mistakes. And, you know, this is a new day, and I may get to find some new mistake I've never made before. Really different, really unique. And I'm still forgiven? I still can forgive myself. I can forgive myself because I feel that God has forgiven me. I'm a recovering Catholic. That is huge for me. That is huge. I went to school and in a Catholic school where they still slap knuckles with, you know, pointers or rulers or whatever, and that we were absolutely born in sin. I want you to go home and look at a picture, if you don't have a child around, a five-year-old or a five-year-old. I was five. I was five the first time I learned this, right? 5 years old, that, you know, I was born with sin, and I am a sinner. I never got over it. I thought, well, that's it. You know, now I know what I am. And I became very afraid of everything. I was traumatized. My brother and sister, my sister was a year ahead of me. My brother was a year behind me. They never got that. I want you to know they sat through the same classes either before I did or, you know, after. They never took that on. They're all still Catholic. They love it. They think I'm a little crazy, you know, but they have come to understand, you know, it's only been 40 years, they have come to understand that this is me, this is who I am. And I believe that science of mind is the only thing that was going to heal me. The only thing. Because it was, in fact, my thinking. Anybody else? Is thinking anybody else's problem? When I don't think, and I realize, that's a completely different story. When I realize, I have a realization. My spiritual teacher used to call it from the podium, a realization. He pretend he was a Baptist minister. He always wanted to be a Baptist minister. So he would have a realization of God in his life. And I heard those words. I had no idea what they meant. But I heard that. And I wanted whatever the hell it was he was talking about. I wanted that realization. I have never, I guess, known the peace that I have found in Centers for Spiritual Living and in Unity. But this, for me, Center for Spiritual Living is huge. I mean, it can't be as big as God, but it tries. It tries. It tries to set itself up so that each of us, in our own unique way, have the opportunity to make a discovery of who I am, who you are, to your core, who you are. When we had our ego in charge, we didn't have a clue. We didn't have a clue who we were. It was the ego making all these decisions. But now, the ego doesn't get to stay in charge for very long. It doesn't take me very long to wake up and realize, whoa, wait a minute, I'm missing an opportunity here. I need to forgive myself. I need to forgive. And if any of you have ever done the Ho'oponopono prayer, are you familiar with that prayer?
Yes.
It saved my life. I swear it saved my life. Because I would do it for forgiving others. And, you know, because I had a couple of really big ones with family, you know, so they're really interwoven and all of that stuff. And I did that over and over and over and over. And one night I'm doing it, and it's been like 15 minutes just saying, dear God, I love you. What is it? I can remember. I love you. No, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. Yeah, that's it. Please, I'm sorry. I am sorry. Please forgive me. At the end of that 15 or 20 minutes into that, where I was really looking for me to forgive that other person, what happened was a wash of forgiveness just rained down on me, and I was forgiven. For the first time, I felt like I was forgiven. And it was the first time that I didn't have to hide from God. You know the little story in Adam and Eve when they went and hid after they ate the apple, and they went and hid. They didn't want to see God. They didn't want God to see them. That's how I felt. I didn't want anybody to see into me. So everything was always a facade. And in that moment, that feeling of that forgiveness, that I was forgiven, nothing has been easier than forgiving others. Because I'm forgiven. And you're forgiven. It just is. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to cry and beg and swear you'll never do it again, because you know better. You know, come on. But you don't. You are. So let's take this and, oh God, it's getting late. Okay, let's just take this in, and what did we do with it? Now that we know, what do we do with it? Well, we forgive ourselves. We forgive ourselves. We begin to forgive ourselves. And in so doing, it'll make it much easier for you to forgive anybody you are still holding something against. Because what happens with that Ho'oponopono prayer? Oh, for heaven's sakes. Anyway, that one, what happens with that prayer is that you are released. You are free. And so is everybody else in your life. And from there, we can figure out who we are. Just letting go of all of it. If like a burden carrying you around, you know, who do you have to be here and who do you have to be here and who shows up in the different places, you can set it all down, every bit of it, and start walking through your life in freedom, not having to drag along the old worries, fears. You're free.